Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is your co-host, Allie.
And this is Tiara.
So I want to start off this episode with a trigger warning, because today we are actually going to talk about triggering. I see a lot of people talking about being triggered, and although it's not pleasant, I believe that triggering is actually a good thing. And I don't think enough people really talk about triggering being a positive thing. Like, I get it. It's unpleasant. I've been triggered. And yeah, it's annoying and it kind of gets on your nerve a little bit. But I feel like the sentiment out there is, I don't want to be triggered. And if I am triggered, then like, I want nothing to do with that person anymore. And they get defensive. And I just think that we need to have an open and honest discussion about what triggering is and why it's actually not such a bad thing. I understand that it is unpleasant. I've been there. I know Tiara has been there. It's not fun, but there's actually a lot of benefits to it. And I just want to talk about it.
So can we talk really quickly about what triggering is and what it means to be triggered? Because I feel like there might be multiple definitions of this. So the impression I get is, Allie, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that when we're talking about triggering, we're talking about when someone makes you feel specific emotions or makes you feel a certain way that is uncomfortable, but points towards specific things or insecurities that need your attention. Like, is that ultimately what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in our culture, I have noticed that that definition has kind of been twisted a little bit, especially when you start talking about higher education, because sometimes there's this thing that they do, and I've so far have only seen it in higher education, where they will say, you know, we're going to cover a specific topic, but we want to be sensitive to anyone who might be triggered by this topic. And if you're triggered, then we will stop. We will stop talking about it. We'll move on. So I just want to make that distinction that I don't think that it's quite the same thing, you know, in pop culture and in politics. They take triggering to mean anything you don't want to hear or anything that might make you feel any type of unpleasant emotions, particularly regarding something you don't agree with. And that's not what we're talking about. So I just wanted to make that distinction.
That's actually a really good distinction. And I'm happy that you actually brought it to our audience's attention, because I think that we all need to be a little bit more realistic about reality and where we are as a society and where we are on this planet. And we're in burnout. Everyone's in burnout right now. There's very few people not in burnout, and people are in survival mode, and people don't have the time, or they're not willing to take the time to really look at themselves and properly heal. And because we are so burnt out, it's just because of the exhaustion, like it's like a whole nother level of exhaustion that I don't even think people can even put into words to define it. But because we're there, it's just like when we're exhausted, it's harder for us to compute things. It's harder for us to make sense of things. It's harder for us to show compassion and empathy towards others. And like, because we're so burnt out and because we're in this very protected space in our energy, it's just like we want to cherish and keep any piece that we have left that makes us survive. And I get that. I absolutely get that. But we have also shifted in society where everyone is just so afraid to speak up because of cancel culture. People are like, people feel like they have to walk on eggshells around certain people. No one's living authentically. People are just so afraid to offend other people. And although I do agree that we do need self-awareness and we do need to be more self-aware of our surroundings and who we're with, and it's not like we want to intentionally upset someone, but freedom of speech is slowly dwindling and everyone's just like, oh, I don't want to get canceled. And everyone's so busy thinking about other people that no one's looking at themselves. And so like when you're around certain people and if they say something, because we've become like this very sensitive culture, it's just people get triggered and like they get annoyed and they just are like kind of like fed up. And although I get it, it's just, it's not going to, it puts us in this place of isolation. It puts us in this place of, I don't like people. And as long as we continue to stay in this space and avoid people, we're not going to make connections. We're not going to really build relationships. We're not going to come together as a community because we're losing the sense of community, because we're losing connection, and we're losing a sense of self. So I was talking about how sensitive our culture has become and how burnt out we are. And because we're so exhausted, we don't really have any extra energy or any extra space for anyone or for activities or events or getting out there and socializing. And basically my point to all of this is that people are so in their own little bubble where they don't want to be disturbed and they don't want to be triggered and they don't want to deal with drama. And I get that. Like, who wants to deal with drama? It's just because we've become so comfortable and isolated, no one's really dealing with anything. Like, everyone wants this very escapism life where it's just people want to just watch TV all day or scroll through TikTok all day. And I get that, because I mean, like, you do need to take time out for yourself. But the moral of the story is that the more comfortable that you become in that, and the more that you are unwilling to shut out the rest of the world because you don't want to look at yourself, it's just the more sensitive you become. When you meet other people, you're going to get triggered because you are becoming so comfortable being isolated and in your own little bubble, in your own little world. It's very hard to find your place in society. And when you want to remove yourself from that bubble and you put yourself out there, there's a very high probability that people are going to trigger the shit out of you. And then people don't really know what to do with that. And typically the trauma response is run. Flight.
So I'm glad we gave a trigger warning, because we are one of those podcasts that doesn't sugarcoat. We are probably one of the more triggering podcasts, and we kind of both know that since we live in a society where people don't like to be triggered, that people, we might not be everyone's cup of tea. As Ali mentioned, triggering is not a bad thing. And one of the things that makes this so much more difficult, especially in our Western society, is that we don't like to hurt feelings. We don't like confrontation. And Ali had conversations with Gen Zers, has had conversations with Gen Zers who have said, you know, it's just easier to ghost and back away slowly than it is to engage in a meaningful conversation that could potentially lead to a solution. And when you exist in a society like that, like, you just kind of get to this place where nothing gets solved. And everyone's solution for if there's a problem or an issue or if they're triggered is to ghost or to look the other way or to pretend that's not the case or to walk on eggshells. And this is not a way to exist.
It's not a way to exist. And it's really sad that this is the way that we've shifted and this is the direction that we're headed. And unfortunately, you know, Gen Zers and Gen Alpha are the future. Like, they are going to reshape society. And I was having this conversation and I was just like, I don't know. I see your point of view and I understand how it's easier to just back away and avoid that confrontation. And I understand it. Like, I also understand that there's a component of it is you're protecting yourself and you don't want to be hurt. And I get all that, but there has to be balance with it because the only way that we really solve problems is being able to effectively communicate with one another. And as if people aren't communicating, and I think that's actually part of the reason why it's such a mess out there in the dating world is because people don't know how to effectively communicate. People just take the high road or take the easy way out. And they're just like, oh, I'm not interested in this person. But it's like, instead of playing the game, the guessing game of does this person like me? Do they not like me? Oh, you want to know, we're not really vibing. Instead of just ghosting and backing away and you never hear from them again, it's like, have the common courtesy to have that conversation and just say like, hey, it was really nice meeting you, but I didn't really feel a vibe. Like, I don't understand why that is so difficult. I don't, like, you know, I understand you might not want to hurt their feelings, but it's just like, effective communication can get us so far, and that's being lost in today's society.
It is being lost. And, you know, I've noticed, and I've talked about this before, how I've noticed this shift in dating because, you know, I have been out of the dating scene for like close to 10 years. So there's certainly been this shift where it's like, there's the communication is just not the best, especially with like some of the online communications I've done. And if there's no vibe, that's not really communicated. Even if there one person maybe did feel a vibe, like it's not communicated that the other side doesn't. So you don't really know. So you engage in conversation. And then the only way you know that there wasn't a vibe is if the other person disappears. And it's just so messy. And I'm just like, man, how did we get here? Because back in the day, like it was just so different. And we did have that courtesy. And, you know, like I appreciated it when someone was like, hey, had fun with you, but there's just no vibe there. I'm open to being friends if you want that. Like, you know, but I don't want to date anymore. Like, I respect that and appreciate that. And I don't know. We just, like, this, again, especially with the online dating, it's just, it's not, we don't do that. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, it's technology. Do you remember when, because cell phones came out around the time that Tiara and I were like 15, 16, I think is around the time like when cell phones first came out.
So that would have been, yeah.
Well, mid-90s, actually. No, early 2000s. Wait, hold on. Early 2000s, yeah. I was 15 and we were 15 in 2000. So that is around the time that cell phones became a thing. But like, cell phones are not what they are today, people. Like, I mean, yeah, texting is definitely a thing, but like you had the flip phone and you had like the keyboard and it just technology has evolved since cell phones first came out for us. But I remember like being high school, freshman year in college, where it was like it started to become a thing where people were breaking up with each other over text message. And I remember that being like the most rudest and like disrespectful thing that a person could do. They like, you don't even have the common courtesy to like break up with me to my face. And like, as technology has evolved, it's become easier and easier to kind of disrespect people because it's so easy to avoid now, and it's so easy to ghost, and it's just so easy just to block the phone number. Things we couldn't do when cell phones first became a thing.
You know, that's a really good point. And it's so funny because you were talking about cell phones, and I just pictured in my mind my first cell phone, which was a Metro PCS. I don't even remember the name of that brand, but it was like their very first cell phone brand, the Metro PCS, and then you would have to lift
it. Yes, I had one of those too that you had to lift and put up the antenna. Yes, that was my first cell phone too. Mine was a Motorola though. My brand was Motorola. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember what this brand was, but Metro had a very specific brand. I think it was a Nokia. And the only way you could use it was to turn it on, and you had to lift that freaking long antenna, and then you could have your cell phone conversations. And then when it was texting, it was like, oh my
yes.
God, the texting was crazy because you had yes. to like press this button a certain number of times to get the right to get the right letter. Yeah, it was just a whole nother world, but it was a simpler time back then too, and we hadn't lost the art of conversation to the degree that we have now. So I think, Allie, you're right that there's a correlation between how the technology has gotten better and how our ability to conversate and, you know, those interpersonal relations has kind of fallen. So that's really interesting, honestly.
Yeah, because I remember like it being the most rudest and messed up thing, being broken up over text. Like, this was before even like iPhone, like before phones got like really technological savvy. It was just a basic phone that you could put in your pocket, and it was not easy to text. And I was just like, I think that's when it really like the interpersonal communication really started to change and shift. And then obviously it's just gotten worse as technology has gotten better. And I think that that plays mm-hmm. a very big role in what's going on. But I think what a lot of people don't understand is that effective communication is so essential to our survival as a society. And not enough people are freaking talking about it. And it drives me a little bit crazy.
You're right. We're not having this conversation en masse in the way that we need to, for sure. And I think it's just we're too distracted right now. I think you're right that a lot of people are exhausted and just trying to survive. And the last thing they want to think about is, oh my gosh, interpersonal relations and connections. But, you know, I really want to encourage people to reflect on what it means to have important communication and how valuable and important that is, not only for yourself, but just generally speaking as a society. Because once that's gone, we're done. Our society is done. How can you have, as Ellie said, an effective society, functioning society with zero communication skills? Like, it's almost like we're going back to, what is it, like cave people?
Yeah, but even cave people lived in tribes.
That's true. They were very agrarian. Yeah, that's very true. And we don't even have that.
No.
I actually made a TikTok about that.
No, and it's an important TikTok, guys. These are important topics, and that's why I gave the trigger warning. Like, I know that this is probably going to trigger some of you, and that's absolutely not my intention. But like, we need to start talking about things that are going to actually help society, and we need to start talking about things that are going to help people function in society instead of all of this avoidance and cancel culture, not wanting to hurt people. And I get that, like, it's not fun to hurt people, no one enjoys being hurt, but I feel like a lot of this avoidance stuff that's going on is because people are afraid of confrontation. People don't want to be hurt. People don't want to hurt others. And because no one is speaking up and because no one is in tune with their feelings, it's just everyone's just like, well, silence is the best answer. And if it falls off, it falls off, and I'll get over it and I'll move on. But then the more we do that, the more comfortable we come with being alone. And the more comfortable we come with being alone, the harder it is to put yourself back into society, the harder it is to put yourself back out there.
That's very true. And the sad thing about that is, like, it's understandable if you want to develop some type of interpersonal connections and you're struggling with that, or you keep getting hurt, to get to a place where you're just like, why am I doing this? The best, safest thing for me is to not involve myself with interpersonal relations. Like, I get where that comes from and why some people sort of get to this place where it's a matter of self-survival and preservation of your mental. All of that's completely understandable. So it's tricky to navigate that because, like, yeah, obviously your mental is important, but at the same time, loneliness isn't healthy. And it's almost like in some ways we are normalizing loneliness. And that blows my mind.
Well, there's also all these studies that isolation is causing tons and tons of mental health issues on top of shortening your life. And we only get one. And honestly, it flies by. I don't know what has been going on the past few years, but time, I blink and it's a new year. And I'm just like, right? Where did the year go?
No, it's freaking me out. Like, it's literally just like that. Like, what? So we just got into December. We're going to blink and it's going to be January 1st.
Yeah, and it's going to be year, like, 2025.
That's how fast time is going. Right.
And that's exactly what I'm saying, you guys. It's like, my mother always warned me. She's like, don't be in such a rush to grow up. Don't be in such a rush to grow up, because the older you get, the faster it goes. She's like, I don't know how that's true or how it works out that way. But now that, like, I'm definitely, like, almost to the point where I lived half of my life, I'm just like, whoa, where did it all go? And, like, life should be about having as many experiences as we can, to learn as much as we can. Like, we learn through experiences. And if you want to stay isolated, and if you want to continue this, I want to avoid people and I don't really want to get myself out there, then you're actually doing a huge disservice to yourself because of the repercussions of the mental health, on top of the fact that life expectancy in countries is getting shorter and shorter. And I don't think enough people actually really realize that. And the sad truth is that I believe that there's many people on this planet right now who are actually just ready to pass and move on. And it's such a shame that, like, we are in this defeatist mindset of, well, I'm actually okay with dying because I'm kind of ready to die. When life can have so much to offer.
Yeah, honestly, I do see that sentiment a lot too. And it's very, very defeatist. And it's not just that, it's also sheer exhaustion. So it's in a way, it is quite understandable. But I feel like a lot of these people saying these things, like, they're so young and they have so much they can still do with their lives. And there's just, they still have so much potential. And it's almost like they're not able to see that or grasp that about themselves or their lives. And so it's, you just kind of decide, like, okay, well, what's better and best for me in this current state? And oftentimes the mind can't go beyond just disappearing. And it is so incredibly sad.
It's so sad. And I want to talk about, I did come across a TikTok the other day where this renowned doctor who studies mental illness was saying that the life expectancy of men is actually getting shorter and shorter because men or people are not in relationships. And so I don't understand how many ways that we can highlight that the sexes need each other, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we like it or not. We are intended to be in union and to be make connecting and having relationships, because men and women each have something to bring to a connection or a relationship, or, you know, whatever adjective you want to use. And it's, I'm just not understanding, like, there are people out there that is talking about short, like, life expectancy being on the decline and how races are going to go completely extinct. And it's kind of alarming to me that no one really cares. And it makes me kind of question, like, what's going on?
I don't know that it's, if it's that people don't care. I just think a lot of people want to protect themselves, or they feel this need to preserve themselves in some type of way. And because a lot of people have mentally made the other sex the enemy, now the focus becomes, I need to protect myself from these individuals. So, and that's what makes it so tricky, because it's like, yeah, like, obviously your protection and your preservation is important, but at the same time, how do we get past this fear?
Well,
essentially is what it is.
It is fear.
And
but also a component of that is not wanting to be hurt or hurt others. And, like, because we've lost the sense of communication, effective communication in particularly, it's just like, people can affect, if you're a good communicator, you can communicate in a way that gets your point across, but isn't, like, cutting another person so deep and basically traumatizing them. And I don't think that people understand that with effective communication, like, how long or how far that can really go when it comes to building relationships and making connections.
Yeah, but effective communication, especially that type of communication, is a skill set. Like, it's a rare skill. Like, I don't know very many people. Actually, I don't know if I know any at all, except maybe you, Allie, who can do that. I don't know how to get that. I don't know where one could go to learn something like that. Like, I'm sure maybe there is some things, resources online, but that it also isn't taught. So it's tricky, because we're not taught proper communications. A lot of households also don't possess that skill. So how do you help a collective when it's essentially a society that simply just does not have that skill?
I mean, that's also part of the problem. And it was just like, you know, I've seen a lot of stats on relationships and a lot of things coming out on relationships, where in today's modern world, like, I saw this stat that over 90% of relationships are actually trauma bonded relationships. Oh, and
yeah.
I understand trauma bonding, because I've been in relationships with trauma bonding, and I understand, like, the mutual, like, I mean, it's trauma bonding, right? It's just like, oh, someone who finally understands me, and someone who finally who gets me. But the problem with trauma bonding is that a lot of those relationships will fail because both parties are not healing their own personal stuff, and they're looking for validation and admiration from external factors or your partner. And because you're not working on yourself, and because you're unable to effectively communicate, that's essentially why most relationships fail.
So I just want to clarify for the audience that a trauma bond is essentially a relationship where two wounded individuals come together because they validate each other through the wounding that's there. Is that more or less?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say because there's so much trauma out there and there's so much stuff going on in individuals, it's just like all these people who are kind of hermiting and like avoiding and kind of starting to get really comfortable in their lonely state because you've quote unquote given up. The more that this happens and the more that you're unwilling to work on yourself, it's the harder it is going to be to survive in society, especially in the direction that this planet is headed in.
You know, there's a conspiracy theory about where our society is headed and what it's going to do to our species. Essentially, the theory goes that if this doesn't change and we're not able to repair the communications and repair the masculine feminine dynamics and come back together in harmony and community, that eventually the focus becomes overly mental. So we end up losing our emotional abilities. We lose compassion. We lose empathy. We become a robotic mind. And we also become infertile as a species because, I mean, it's happening right now. We're seeing testosterone and fertility rates dropping everywhere. So eventually at some point, the species becomes infertile and can no longer sustain itself through reproduction in the same way and has to find creative ways to reproduce. And I was thinking about that and I was just like, holy moly, I see us going that way right now.
And it's wild. It's
so wild.
It's completely wild. And it's honestly, it's a shame because anyone who knows anything about spirituality or New Age knows that they obviously believe in reincarnation and that we've had past lives. And really, the whole purpose is to help grow and evolve and become your best and highest self. And Earth is a really hard system. There's a lot of darkness on this planet, but any spiritual teacher, and they even teach this in many like different religions, I know, like in Buddhism, like they say, like, the like it is honestly one of the highest honors to be able to incarnate as a human, especially on this planet, because of free will and because of the opportunities and the hardships. It's like incarnating on Earth actually gives you a leg up because of what you can learn in a lifetime. And so if people actually could shift their mindset on like, it is a gift to be here on Earth, to be able to learn the lessons that you get that you might not get elsewhere in the star system. And so it's just, I don't think enough people know like really truly what an honor it is to be human. And we're here to meet people and connect and learn from other people and have experiences, not be a slave to the matrix, working 9 to 5, being stressed out all the time, burning ourselves out. That is not what our incarnations are intended for. And so tying back to the beginning when I wanted to talk about like triggering and meeting people, like, yes, like you're going to meet people and they're going to trigger you, but it's not a bad thing because as Tiara gave the definition of trigger, if you're triggered by someone, it means that there's something inside of you that you need to look at. The person who's triggering you is technically your mirror, the mirror that you've been avoiding. And I don't really think people understand what a blessing in disguise that really truly is.
It absolutely is. And can you imagine where our society would be if we, especially in our family units, and especially when we're like when we have a little bit more self-awareness than, you know, childhood, but had someone who was triggering us and, like, you know, didn't have any problem doing so and was open about it and, like, was pushing us to see how we can be better and what the flaws were. And I feel like we would be in such a different place if family units had that structure. I mean, just even as a society, because that's so, so valuable. And I even personally wish that I would have had more of that coming up, because, you know, I came up in a household where we didn't do that. It was like the same thing. We didn't want to hurt feelings. We didn't want to trigger. We didn't want any problems. We didn't want to start fights. And so if we saw something in someone that was destructive or saw someone destroying themselves, we didn't say anything. And I just wish that we would have had the courage and the wherewithal to instead have said something.
That's really interesting that you said that, because I did have that. I had a lot of problems growing up as a kid, and oftentimes there was a lot of issues within the family unit, and I don't really want to go into detail about that, but I often would argue a lot with my mother because my mother and I were very triggering to each other. And my mother, I mean, I didn't enjoy it at the time, and I was a teenager, but she would often, like, throw little things at me, like running away, because I was definitely, my trauma response was definitely flight. And I wanted to run as far away from my problems as possible. And my mother would say, it doesn't matter how much physical distance you put, your problems are always going to follow you, or your problems will eventually always catch up to you. It's not about physical distance. It's about you needing to look at yourself. And she said that to me multiple times growing up. And obviously I wasn't as developed and I didn't really understand what it meant. But although it was very unpleasant at the time, when I started doing the healing work, those little phrases that bothered me so much when she said it, I realized that they were really truly blessings in disguise, because my mother was right. Like, I ran away to Hawaii. Not a bad place to run away to, by the way. I also went to California. And although, like, I needed those experiences, you know, I still hadn't resolved any of my trauma. And I kept getting faced with very similar situations where my mother was like, you will continue to be faced with these situations. And the reason why they keep repeating itself is because you haven't learned the lesson. And I didn't, it obviously took, like, going through the same cycle over and over again for it to finally click. But although I understand, like, it's not pleasant and it might be mean and your feelings can get hurt, there's actually a lot of wisdom behind these little things that are truly blessings in disguise.
There is, really is great wisdom in that. And that's why I was saying earlier that I wish I would have had that, because it's such a blessing to have that given to you. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I've been able to have that through Allie and through working with the archangels. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, triggering sucks. It freaking sucks. And one of the things you'll probably feel first when you're triggered is some type of negative emotion, whether that be angst or stress, or even for me, like, I felt a lot of regret. I felt shame. Shame was huge. I think I mostly felt shame. In addition to the regret, also guilt. Once you start to realize how your behavior has affected you and has affected others. Now, I can't speak for everyone, but I just know personally for me, those were the initial feelings that I felt. And I'm talking about when I was being forced to look at things like my being stubborn, for example,
or control issues,
like control issues, perfectionism traits that I carry. So
overthinking.
Once you're triggered and the overthinking, yes. So once you're triggered and you're confronted with some of these things about yourself that you didn't realize or know, and you start to see how not only it affected you and the way that you have carried your life and the way it has affected others, that is hard. It freaking sucks. And like, you might feel shitty for a little bit. Like, I know I did and still do in many ways feel shitty about that. But it's the only way that you're going to know what's keeping you back and holding you back, so that you can look at why that's there and find ways to change your thinking, change those patterns, look where it's coming from in regards to the wounding that's there, and be better. And then once you're able to do that is when your life starts to shift. So I want it to be really, really clear and provide a realistic picture of what that could potentially look like. And it's going to take a lot of bravery and courage. And I think that something that's also lacking is, I don't know that we, especially with the burnout, have the courage and the strength to do that. And it's going to require digging deep to even want to do something like that. And at the end of the day, for me, it's been a lot of work. It's been energetically a lot of work, emotionally a lot of work, because I'm also going through the process of lifting repressed emotions. And now I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't know all this was here. What's it like to feel emotions again? Oh, okay, this is a lot. This sucks. I'm overwhelmed. So it's like you have to find a balance in it. And also, it's important to practice self-compassion, because it is a lot. And if you are carrying repressed emotions, it's another layer of a lot of work that needs to be done. And it's going to require, again, great courage and patience. So I wanted to, again, just paint a little bit of a picture of what this process could look like. But at the end of the day, it's really not that scary. Like, I'm not dead, or I didn't die from this. My life wasn't threatened from doing this. Like, I really want us to be realistic about some of those fears, because we did a channeling session where we spoke to some angelic beings about fear and how it's mostly an illusion, because is the fear really valid? The only fear that's really valid is one that is there if your life is in danger or you're threatened in some way. If that's not the case, maybe we should reevaluate those fears. Are they justified? Are they real? I was afraid. But again, here I am, alive and well, like still pushing forward. So again, I just wanted to give a little perspective.
And by the way, that channeling session will actually be up in our community. And it was a very enlightening thing, because fear really is an illusion. I got validation from, you know, some of these very high deities that was just like, yeah, a lot of people let fear control every aspect of their lives, whether that's scarcity mindset, whether that's being afraid of being hurt, whether that's afraid of, you know, change, resisting change. People don't know how to really properly surrender. People don't know how to find the courage to step up and make those changes in your life. Like, okay, you step up and decide to make a change in your life and it doesn't go the way that you want, then that's okay. The point is that at least you tried. We have to fail. A lot of people are so afraid to fail that people don't really understand that failure, we have to fail in order to learn. If we just went out there and if we did everything right all the time, what the hell would we learn? And we're here to learn. We're here to grow. And another thing about triggering that TR I forgot to mention was oftentimes when people get triggered, that's when people get defensive. That's when the wall goes up. That's when people are kind of get into that victimhood, that victim mentality. And as long as you do that, you are robbing yourself of the opportunity to learn, grow, and evolve.
Yes, so the ego has its way of trying to protect us and protect our choices and the way we've chosen to live our life. Because I know a lot of us, and especially myself as well, have put a lot of time and energy and investments and funds into getting educated and building this specific life for ourselves. And that required making a lot of hard choices. So when you get to this place where you're having to like reevaluate what that means, and that was something that you did, and that perhaps that wasn't for your best and highest, is so, so hard. So we get defensive, and when we're triggered, it feels like we need to defend ourselves and defend our honor and defend our worth. And for me, a lot of that defensive energy that I put up was like, this is where my worth comes from. And when my worth is being attacked, now I don't feel worthy. And so you get to this place where, and at least for me, where my worth was gone and I felt no worth at all. I had to like find it again. And a lot of that was about the mental patterns and beliefs I was carrying. So I had to look at that too and change the entire narrative. And it requires great fortitude and mental strength and courage. And it's needed and it's necessary if you want to change your life and get somewhere better. It's just the reality of it. But I'm still alive. I didn't die. Still here.
Well, I didn't,
alive and kicking.
I didn't die either. And there's plenty of people who go down the path of healing and they're still kicking. They're still alive.
See? Nothing to fear there. You know? Fear is in the mind.
It's all in the mind. Actually, fear, if any of you are interested in the chakras, fear is actually, it lives in your root chakra. And that's why so many people operate from the bottom two or bottom three, the lower two or three chakras, the root, the sacral, and the solar plexus. And so many people have cut off their upper chakras. And it's just so unfortunate, because it's like once you can get past the lower three chakras and you move up into your heart and throat, third eye, your crown, and you're more open and you're living more authentically, that's where all the magic happens, people. That's where life gets a little bit easier and you see things a little bit more clearer, and you are open and inviting good things to happen in your life. And that's where manifestation happens. And it's really where all the magic happens. And so in order to be able to get to that place where, you know, things feel easier and you are in a place where you wake up and you're more grateful to be alive and be healthy, you really got to push past those lower three chakras.
And a lot of that is also very difficult, especially since many of those fears have been pre-programmed in us. So it's an unlearning process in many ways. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, especially when it comes to the false programming, is, well, how I will consider how it makes me feel. And I will consider if it's intuitively feels like it's valuable information that will help me in life. So for example, this notion that we need to work a 9-to-5 and build a life for ourselves and build a retirement and retire on that, and that's how life should be. I did that, or at least, you know, was going through the motions of doing that. I had a 9-to-5 for many years and I burnt out and I was exhausted and I was like, this doesn't feel right. This does not feel like the existence that is what I want and the existence that aligns with, you know, what I think I deserve to have. Like, I at least knew that at an intuitive level. And it was kind of funny because I would argue with
people about it. I would argue with relatives about it, because some of my older relatives, they came up when they did the 9-to-5 and they were able to build up this incredible pension, and they're getting close to retiring. And it's just like, oh, you know, I've got this great pension here. I'm going to retire and life is grand. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, good for you. Times are different. I don't think that's in alignment for me, and that's not what I want for my life. So sometimes you have to push back on some of those traditional beliefs and do it from an intuitive place, and do it from a place where you're evaluating, hey, is this something that feels right? Is this something that I think is in alignment for what I want in my life? And oftentimes that will take you quite far.
It absolutely will. And Tiara brought up a really good point, like during the healing process, where we really do need to have compassion and understanding for ourselves. And we need to be able to learn how to forgive ourselves. And that was honestly one of the hardest hurdles of my healing journey, was forgiveness for others and forgiveness for myself. Forgiveness is actually, forgiveness is one of the hardest things to overcome in the healing journey. I don't know why it's so hard, but it is so freaking hard. Some people, like, rolls off the shoulder, super easy, but for most, it's the hardest thing in the world. And because, like, our ego is telling us, like, no, we, like, they hurt us, and we justify why we got hurt, and we kind of go into that victim place. And as long as we stay there, we're just hindering our evolution. And so it is really important to have that compassion. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this, but I'm sure you have, but like, I love the mirror effect, where people say, like, the first thing that you do in the morning is you go and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you start talking positively to yourself, and you talk about things that you like about yourself, or you just give yourself a compliment. And it's just like, because our thoughts and words are energy, and they hold power over us. And so it's really important to, like, make little shifts in that way, like the mirror effect, where you just wake up in the morning and you go into the bathroom and you're looking in the mirror and you just compliment yourself and start your day off on the right foot. And you do that continuously, because it is important that with all the shame and guilt and all this other stuff we might be feeling through the healing process, it's really important that to bear in mind that we also need to speak positively to ourselves. And I think a lot of people don't do that.
Oh, I didn't do that at all. I did the opposite, actually. I would rip myself apart and criticize myself and use that to fuel my successes, which is very unhealthy. But I actually really love that idea of going into the mirror and talking to yourself positively. I think that is so beautiful. And, you know, if you're like me and you struggle with incorporating new routines into your day, that might be a little bit of a struggle. But I think what's going to be important if you want to try something like that is to see how it makes you feel, because it should make you feel at ease. It should feel good to do that kind of thing to yourself and, you know, talk positive to yourself. And I know that when I do that, like, I can feel it throughout my entire body, the effect that the positive words are having and the effect that that vibration is having. So I would say that's worth giving a shot, especially if you're kind of in this space where you're like, man, I need some of that strength and courage to do this next phase of work. Try doing that and just talking to yourself and giving yourself a boost, and, you know, kind of like a team when you have a coach that's, you know, trying to egg you on and get you in the energy and encourage you. Maybe that's something you can try doing for yourself to see if it gives you that strength and that courage to do that next step of deeper work. Could work.
Yeah. When I came across the mirror effect, I love it, because when you do talk positively to yourself and it's encouraging, like, it basically is reprogramming your psyche of like, okay, we're not perfect beings and we have made mistakes and other people have made mistakes, And that's okay, because as long as we learn from the mistakes that we've made, then and apply it to the future to not make the same mistake again, guess what? That's growing. That's change. That's evolution. So it is important that we do make mistakes, because that's how we learn. But I think our ego kind of gets in the middle of the way and just says like, oh, you shouldn't have done that, or you know better. And then that's kind of when like the shame, the guilt, and all that other stuff kind of kicks in. And you have to override the ego sometimes and say, you know what? I'm not perfect. I learned from it. I won't make the mistake again. Like, I'm still a beautiful human being. I still have a lot to offer the world, and I'm going to keep going. So this is kind of why I wanted to talk about triggering, because I feel like there's a lot of really valuable information when it comes to triggering, especially like, I hope if you guys got anything from this episode, it's that I know it's not pleasant. Tiara and I have been there, but they really truly are blessings in disguise. And I think if people can kind of shift their mindset around that and extract why you're being triggered, it's all it is a mirror. Those people in front of you, it's like they're blessings because they're mirrors, and it's indicating something inside of you, like saying like, hey, this needs to be looked at, and maybe this needs attention. And then if you can work through it, I would take any opportunity I could to heal so I can feel more at peace. Because once you feel at peace, nothing freaking bothers you, and life is pretty damn great.
That's a really great point.
Like, I've done so much healing work that I am comfortable enough to... Tiara was talking about effectively communicating. It's because I've done so much healing work. Like, I have learned that if I want something, no one's going to give it to me. No one's going to send it to me. No one's going to show up on my doorstep. I have to work for it. And I am absolutely so grateful for all those people who have pushed me, challenged me, forced me to look at myself. Was it pleasant at the time? No. Did I run? Yes. But because those seeds were planted, when I started doing the healing work, it was like all those little seeds started to grow. And because I was able to extract all those lessons, I started to evolve into a better person. And I learned how to effectively communicate. And I've learned how to just be a better person, not for anyone else other than myself. We don't heal for other people. We heal for ourselves. And I've gotten to a place where it's like, I don't really care what people think about me, because I am so comfortable with who I am that I'm not seeking outside validation from other people. I know who I am, and I'm proud of who I am. And because of that, I actually have peace in my life. I don't have a lot of external stresses, and I don't let a lot of external stresses stress me out, because I know who I am and I'm confident in myself. And so once you actually do the healing work, and once you can get to this place, life really isn't that bad. It's really not. I'm just like, could the world be in a better state? Absolutely. Is it a mess out there? Absolutely. But we need more people to have compassion and empathy and understanding, because without it, society is only going to continue to decline.
I just want to add on a little bit when it comes to that peace. A big part of that is also a mental peace, because I know right now that a lot of individuals struggle with any kind of mental peace. Like, the mind is just in so much turmoil and agony, and there's so many thoughts, and the brain never stops, and it's just so hard to shut it down and to quiet the noise and to get any type of quiet in there. And that can be very stressful when you can't turn your mind off. And doing this kind of work, it actually does help a lot. It helps quiet the mind so, so much. And is your mind going to ever go 100% quiet? I don't know that that's possible, but it does help significantly. And so I want to add that, you know, when it comes to looking at your triggers, some of that peace that you will experience and can experience is a mental quieting of the mind, like a mental peace, like the angst and the stress eases, especially once you start to realize where it's coming from and if there are other emotions underneath it or tied to it. And I honestly think that the work is worth just that.
Tiara is absolutely right. And that's why we kind of just wanted to bring a different perspective to triggering. And hopefully you guys see it. And like, we're always here to support. This is why we have the community. Reach out to us. I think that this was a really important episode. I did give the trigger warning at the beginning, but.
Good job, Allie.
What?
I said, good job, Allie.
Good job what?
For the trigger warning.
Oh, yeah, no.
For the trigger
warning. Yeah, no, I gave the trigger warning in the beginning, but I hope if you actually got through this episode that you at least have a different perspective on it. We did the, like, Tiara is still going through the work. I've done a lot of the work. And I mean, like I said, I can tell you from personal experience that I have never experienced more mental peace within myself. And honestly, just going through all the shit that I've gone through in my entire life, I'm actually kind of grateful for it because it got me here.
One last thing. So if you enjoy this podcast and you see a lot of value in it and you see the potential with it, please do give us a rating on Spotify, specifically Spotify, but it doesn't matter which platform, but please do give us a rating and share our podcast with others that you think might find value in it, because we do strive to put a lot of value in this through our own experiences to help other people in their self-improvement journey. So we would really, really appreciate that.
We absolutely would. And I just want to say thank you, everyone who listens and supports us. It really does mean a lot to us. And I hope everyone has a great week.
All right. Thank you, guys.